What we ended with yesterday, we're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Vav Amud Bet, and we had the three different opinions about what you do about which tefillot, when there's four tefillot a day, do we say Berkat Kohanim in all four tefillot when it's a fast, or Yom Kippur, or the Ma'amadot? Or do we skip either Mincha, or do we skip it in Mincha and Megillah? But what the Gemara now says is, Dekulei Alma Mihat, what's clear to everybody, nobody disagrees about, is that Shikur Asur B'Nesiat Kapayim. That if you're drunk, you can't be Nosei Kapayim. You can't go up to Duchen if you're drunk. That's clear to everybody. And the whole question is it just that we're not worried on this day about people being drunk because it's late in the day, or we don't want to distinguish between Mincha and that and every day, so Mincha we don't say it, but Ne'ilah we do because Ne'ilah doesn't come up every day. But the fact is they all agree that Shikur is a Asur B'Nesiat Kapayim. So now they say, Minahan Emile, where do we learn this from? What do we know about Kohanim and Shikurim? We know that they can't go to the Mikdash to work if they're Shikurim. But it never says anything about Berkat Kohanim. That's why do we make that connection? So the Gemara says, Amar Bishua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Lama Nismecha Parashat Kohen Mivarech LeParashat Nazir. In the Torah, the Parashat of Nazir comes right next to the Parashat of the Kohen giving the Brachot, Berkat Kohanim. So what's the Smichut Parashiot to teach you? Lomar Ma Nazir Asur B'Yayin, Af Kohen Mivarech Asur B'Yayin. Just like the Nazir can't drink, also the Kohen who gives a Bracha can't drink. So now they have a question on this. Matkip Lavuad Rabbi Zera, Vamrila Oshaya Barzavda, one of the two of them asked this question. Ima Nazir Asur B'Chartzan, Af Kohen Mivarech Asur B'Chartzan. Let's take it all the way. A Nazir can't even eat grape pits. It's not just wine, it's grapes and everything that wine is made of. Even grape pits. So why don't we forbid the Kohen and Mivarech? If we're going to learn it from Nazir, if they can't drink wine, well, then they shouldn't be able to have grapes and grape pits and anything else. Amar B'Yitzchak, Amar Kra, Lisharto Ulevarech Bishmo. There's a pasuk that says he should be Lisharet Ulevarech Bishmo. I actually don't remember. Why is this pasuk not here? Where does this pasuk come from? I think it's from Bamidbar. I don't know why they forgot to mention it here in the second. Let me see if I can find it. Here, it's in Dvarim. It's in Dvarim Perikyu Pasuk Yud. Okay? And it's I forgot the whole pasuk there, but okay, it doesn't bring it here. But l'sharto l'varech b'shmo. Ah, here it is. Ba'eta hi yivdil Hashem et Shevet Levi laset et Aron Brit Hashem la'amod lifnei Hashem. Okay, this is what Shevet Levi was separated to stand and work before God. U'l'varech b'shmo ad ha'yom hazeh. Okay, so to stand, to serve, and to bless. So what do they say? Ah, hekesh. This is mentioned in the pasuk next to each other. Ma misharet mutar b'chartzan, af kohen mevarech mutar b'chartzan. Right, and logically also, if he's allowed to go to the mikdash eating this, obviously he's going to be allowed to do the bracha. Okay? So then they say, well, if that's the case, then why don't we say this, which is, ima misharet balmum lo, af kohen mevarech balmum lo. Well, then, if you're going to say this a hekesh, then let's learn everything. Just like we tried to say from Nazir, let's learn everything. So let's learn everything. What do we know about a Kohen Misharet? If you were a Baal Mum, you weren't allowed to be Misharet in the Ben HaMikdash. You couldn't serve. So therefore, also we should say, Kohen HaMavarech also can't be a Baal Mum. If you're a Baal Mum, you can't do Berkat Kohanim. And the assumption here is that you can. So what do they say? And Halach Lamasa, by the way, you can unless you have some very blatant Mum. Like if it's a Mum that you're disfigured or something, and then it might distract people from when you're giving the bracha, even though it's interesting, you actually cover yourself. So, and number one, people aren't supposed to be looking, and number two, you cover yourself. But I think the concept is that these are the leaders of the people, and they're getting up to bless the people, and you'll see them before they go up, and it'll distract you. How could this disfigured person, you know? I mean, it's a difficult concept, but anyway. So now what do they say? Ha'it kish linazir. A Baal Mum, it's not a Baal Mum, right? The bracha is right next to Nazir, and there's no issue of a Nazir and Baal Mum, right? Right? So a Nazir can be a Baal Mum. There's no issue there. So therefore, the Kohen Mivarech is next to Nazir, can be a Baal Mum. So we've gone back and forth. We've had this ping pong. We learn certain things from Nazir. We don't learn other things from Nazir. We learn certain things from Kohen Mivarech, but we don't learn other things from Kohen Mivarech. So the Gemara is a little confused here, as we all are. Umay chazit imakshit lekula akish lechomra. What made you decide? Why did you think to do this hakesh lekula and say that we're going to allow a Baal Mum, but we're not going to allow him to eat? As we're going to allow him, sorry, we're going to allow him to be mishared as a balmum, but we're not going to allow him to eat the, and he can eat the chartzan, right? And it's, why don't you say it l'chumra? That we're going to say that it's asur b'chartzan, just like it's next to Nazir, it should be asur also for the grape pits. So what do they answer? Great answer. Asmach taninu midrabanan ulakula. This is the limudim from the psukim is not like we're actually deriving it from the psukim. It's that these halachot were in existence. We knew them. We're just trying to connect it to the psukim. Okay, so sometimes we don't know drasha kadmala halacha or halacha kadmala drasha, which came first, the chicken or the egg. Did we learn this, right? Did we learn it out from the psukim? Did we derive it? Or did the halacha exist and then we connect it to a psukim? Oftentimes we don't know, but here the Gemara is telling us very specifically, don't worry about this ping pong conversation, because really what's going on is they had a halacha and they just wanted to connect it. So they say, balmum, we say it's next to nazir, so it's like a balmum. And yayin is next to nazir, it's like a nazir. But not to the extent of the grapes, because we can learn that out from the Kohen HaMasharet, that it's like the Kohen HaMasharet. And also logically, right, we're not going to be more machmir than the Kohen HaMasharet. That's obviously on a higher level than nowadays doing Berkat Kohanim. Okay. Elu hein hamamadot. Lefishan emar tzavet b'nei Yisrael. Now remember we said there, and the Mishnah was a little strange. It said, these are the mamadot, and it proceeded not to tell us what the mamadot are. It proceeded to tell us why we have mamadot. Right? And it says from the pasuk, we're going to see it in a minute. Okay? So the Gemara says, my ka'amar, what's the Gemara talking about? It seems to be saying, we're going to describe what the mamadot are, but then it jumps right away to what's the source. Where do we see a source in the pasukim? So the Gemara says, hachi kamar, this is what it means. Elu hein ma'amadot. We're going to explain to you what the ma'amadot are. But before we do that, umatam tignu ma'amadot. And what's the reason why we made these ma'amadot? Lefishan emar tzavet b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem et korbani lachmi li'ishai v'chule. V'heach korbano shel adam karev v'hu eino omer al gabav. Right? The whole reason was my korban, right? God says, bring my korban every day. And how could the korban for every individual be sacrificed and nobody's standing there? Hitkinu nevi'im arishonim. Now we're going to start to hear how it developed. Hitkinu nevi'im arishonim esrim v'arba'a mishmarot. Al kol mishmaro mishmar hayama amad. Okay, so they set up, the nevi'im arishonim set up 24 mishmarot. We're going to see later exactly who did this. And on every mishmar, there was a ma'amad that was parallel to it. B'Yerushalayim shel kohanim v'shel levi'im v'shel yisraelim. Again, it appears that the ma'amad was made up of kohanim, levi'im, and yisraelim, not just yisraelim. But if I remember correctly, there are some opinions who say, no, really, the kohanim and levi'im were talking about the mishmarot, and the ma'amadot were only yisraelim. Higiyas man mishmar la'alot. Okay, when it was time for the mishmar to go to the Beit HaMikdash, kohanim v'levi'im olim l'Yerushalayim. Okay, the kohanim and levi'im would go up to Jerusalem. Tana Rabbanan. Esrim v'arba'a mishmarot be'eretz Yisrael u'shtem esrei b'Yericho. Okay, now there's this seemingly strange braita. It says there were 24 mishmarot in Israel and 12 in Yericho. Which sounds like, again, there's different ways you could read this. What does this mean? But it sounds like those are in Israel and those are in Yericho, which is a little strange because anyway, Yericho is in Israel. But the Gemara first understands it as if it's saying there's 36, right? There's 24 in Israel and 12 in Yericho. So they say, Shdemestre v'Yericho, Nefishan l'Utuva, there's way too many. Right? We said there's only 24. How could there be 36? Ela, Shdemestre mehen v'Yericho. Okay? 12 of those in Eretz Israel were in Yericho, which is also a little strange. What does it mean they were in Yericho? Why? What? Was the population in Yericho so great of the Kohanim that they were all in Yericho? Or half of them? So now they're going to explain. Higiyas man ha-mishmar la'alot. What does it mean half of them were in Yericho? When it was time for the mishmar to go, before we saw that they would all go to Yerushalayim, right? Higiyas man ha-mishmar la'alot, kohanim v'levi'im olim l'Yerushalayim. Here is a different version, and it says, Higiyas man ha-mishmar la'alot, chatzi ha-mishmar haya oleh me'eretz Yisrael l'Yerushalayim, v'chatzi ha-mishmar haya oleh. Now we're going to have two different nishchaot. Okay, I'm going to read one, and then we'll change it and read it the other way. Mi Yericho, kadei shisabku mayim u'mazon la'achayhem sh'b'Yerushalayim. So half of them would go up from Israel and half of them would go up from Yericho, meaning that really half of them were already situated in Yericho. Okay? But many of them say, no, it's Hatzime Hamayolim Li Yericho. Kidesh Sapku Maim Mazan Lachem Yerushalayim. When it was time for them Bishmar to go, they would come from wherever they lived in Israel, they would go, half of them would stop in Yericho, And half the week they would spend in Yericho, and then they'd swap with the team that was in Jerusalem. And I think the assumption is that Yericho wasn't far, and that's where there was food and stuff, and they would bring the food from Yericho to the Beit HaMikdash. Again, it's still strange that then they would say that 12 of the Mishmarot were in Yericho. Maybe it means that half the Mishmarot on every given week, in other words, again, it's not half the Mishmarot, but it's the Mishmarot split their time between Israel, between Jerusalem and Yericho. And then they would swap midweek, and they would go work in the Mikdash, and they would go to get the food. If you say that they were coming from Yericho because they lived in Yericho, then the part about Kadesh Yisabku Maimu Mazel Nachayhem Yerushalayim doesn't really work so well. So, in general, I find this source a little bit confusing in how to read it, and clearly the Mefarshim struggled with it also, whether it was Mi Yericho or Li Yericho, and what exactly was happening here. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kohanim V'Leviim V'Yisraelim Ma'akvin Et HaKorban. Okay, if you don't have the Ma'amadot, okay, that's what they're basically seeming to say here. Again, going with the assumption that the Kohanim Leviim and Yisraelim all made up the Ma'amad. It was made up of people from Kohanim Leviim and Yisraelim. And then some people say, does it mean that if you had a Ma'amad made up without one of the parts, it wouldn't be good? Or does it just mean you need a Ma'amad? If you don't have a group of people praying for the Korban can't be brought. Okay, it's a critical part of the Korban. So now the Gemara says, this is, Rabbi Huda said this in the name of Shmuel, he's an Emorah, right, living in the Gemara time period. So now they bring up this issue, b'matnita Tana, but there's a Braita, okay, from the Tanaitic time period, which is stronger, right, which says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I think it should be Omer, I'm guessing now, maybe not. Where's the bet? Yeah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Kohanim v'levim u'klei shir ma'akvin et ha-korban. Now he adds something, right? Before we saw Kohanim Leviim and Yisraelim, here he gets rid of the Yisraelim. It just says Kohanim Leviim, Yisraelim are missing. Okay, mm-hmm. The Gemara doesn't relate to that at all. And Klei Shir, okay, they have to have their Klei Negina. We talked about this in the past, and we're going to see a machloket we saw also in Yoma.
Maybe it means that just they bring the musical instruments, and that's why it doesn't say Yisrael.
Uh-huh. Except the Kohanim didn't have so much to do with the musical instruments, just the Leviim. It could be here that they're indicating that you don't necessarily need the Ma'amadot, you need the Mishmarot of the Kohanim and the Leviim, right? And that you don't need a Ma'amad. The Ma'amad itself isn't Ma'akev the Korban. That's what it seems like to me. And then, what do you have? But you need the musical instruments. Now, Shmuel didn't mention the musical instruments, right? The Rabbi Huda, in the name of Shmuel, didn't say anything about musical instruments. So why did he say the musical instruments are Ma'akev and they're not? Okay, we learned in the past that the shear was ma'akev the korban. You had to bring the korban with the shear. Okay, so now what do they say? What's the root of this machloket? This is why I said the Gemara completely ignores the Yisraelim part. Mar savar ikar shira b'peh, umar savar ikar shira b'kli. One guy says, we learned this before, that what's music made of? What's the key ingredient to the music, the shira? Is it the voices? In which case, the levi'im are ma'akev, but the klei shear are not ma'akev. Or is it the musical instruments, that you can't have music without musical instruments? So if you don't have the musical instruments, then that shira is not considered shira, and it's not enough just to have the levim, you need also the musical instruments. And that's a machloket about what's the ikar shira. Amarav chamar bar guria amarav. Now we're going to see some different braitot about this takana of how the mishmarot came about. Amarav, he says in the name of Rav, Moshe tikem lehem liYisrael shmone mishmarot. Arba'a me'Elazar va'arba'a me'Itamar. Okay, so now we learn that Moshe started, he set up the first Mishmarot. There were, right, we didn't get to 24 at that point because we learned Nevi'im Rishonim did the 24. We'll see who that is. We learned already, we mentioned it when we saw the Mishnah. But now we're going to see Moshe sets up 8 Mishmarot. 4 from Elazar, 4 from Itamar. Okay, Bashmuel, let's see, is my mark here? Yeah. Okay, so according to this, let's see. Okay, Moshe does 8. Okay, according to this, then Bashmuel v'hemidan al sheshesre. Okay, Shmuel comes and he makes it 16. Okay, then Ba David v'hemidan al asrim v'arba. Okay, and David turns it into 24. Okay, so it develops over time, right? You see, it's gradual. Okay, so how do we connect this with David? And here we're going to have a source. How do we know it was David and not Shmuel together? That maybe the two of them switched it from 8 to 24. So it says here, Shenemar, Bishnata Arba'im, this is a pasuk from Divrei Yamim. It's a parak that talks about the Mishmarot Kuna. Okay, the pasuk you'll see doesn't really explain everything, but what it does say, it talks about Bishnat Arba'im L'Malchut David. Now, Bishnat Arba'im L'Malchut David, Shmuel was no longer alive. That's the key part here that they're using as a proof. That Shmuel was no longer alive, and therefore it must be attributed exclusively to David, the 24th. Bishnat Arba'im L'Malchut David, Nidrashu V'Yimatzeh Lehem Gibarei Achayel B'Yazer Gilad. Okay, and this is, like I said, it's the pasuk that's talking about all the Mishmarot, and it seems to be indicating that David did it in that year without Shmuel. Okay, however, there's another pasuk that says that Shmuel did the Mishmarot, so therefore they say it must be Shmuel up to 16 and David up to 24. Meitivei. Now we're going to bring a contradiction from a Braita. Now remember, this was said by an Emora. It was said by Rav Chama Bar Guria, okay, in the name of Rav. Now we're going to have a Braita that says something different. Okay? Moshe tikan lim Yisrael shmona mishmarot. Arba'a me'elazar va'arba'a me'itamar. Ba David shmuel v'hemidan alasrim va'arba. Okay, so here's 8, and here is 24 together. Okay, the two of them, Shmuel and David, did 24. So where do they get this from? Shene'emar, they're going to bring 2 psukim. Okay, these psukim are both from Divrei Hayamim. Okay, both from the same, right? They're both from, no, they're from, 1 second. Yeah, they're both from the same parak. One is Pasuk Dalet, one is Pasuk Vav of Divrei Hayam al Parak Kaf Dalet. Okay? Vayimatzu b'nei Elazar rabim l'rashei ha'gvarim min b'nei Itamar. Okay, turns out that the tzatzaim of Elazar were greater than the number of tzatzaim that were from Itamar. So vayachakum l'b'nei Elazar rashim l'beit avot 16. So what did they do? Since there was a population growth, right? What did they say? Well, since Elazar has more than Itamar, we're going to give Elazar 16, and we're going to give Itamar 8. And then it says, okay, so in the, 1 second. Okay, sorry. At this point, we're just bringing this one pasuk. It's later, they're going to bring 2. Okay, so here we see that, right? Am I reading from the right spot? 1 second. Ba David, Remidal, Shmuel. Right. Hema Yisad, David, Shmuel, Haru Eba, Amunetam. Did I read the wrong pasuk? I read the wrong pasuk, sorry. Okay. I went ahead. Okay, I was reading from the thing here. Okay, so sorry. The pasuk I was supposed to read was this. Kulam, Haburim, La Shorim, Basipim, Matayim, Ushne Masar. Hema v'chatzrehem. Okay, this is the pasuk. It's at the end of that parak in Divrei Hayamim that we were reading about all the. Okay, Hema yisa David u'Shmuel haro'eh be'emunatam. Okay, so while in the beginning it says that it was in the 40th year of David, at the end it says that Hema yisa did Shmuel with David. So it seems to indicate that Shmuel and David did the thing, did the 24. Sorry, I jumped ahead. Okay, so now we have, just to summarize. The first pasuk said it was Bishnat Arba'im LeDavid, which Shmuel wasn't allowed. So Shmuel must have done 16 and David 24. So when it said, Hema Yusav, what does it mean? It means this came about both from Shmuel and David. But Shmuel did the first step and David finished the last step. According to the second commentary, it says, no. It says, Hema, these, Yusav, Shmuel, and David. They must have done it together. They don't address the fact that, oh, if it's really, it was in the 40th year of David, Shmuel's not alive. Must be that they both jumped it up from 8 to 24 together. Now, so that's a contradiction, right? Okay, we're not getting to an answer yet. Now we have a Tanya Idach. Okay, so So now we have the answer. Sorry, Hachi Kamar Mi Sodo Shel David Shmuel Aramati Mijum Alasrim VaArba. In other words, the other guy says, no, it means that, like I explained before, Shmuel helped bring about this idea that we're going to add, but he didn't finish it ad asof, and David finished it ad asof. Okay, third source. So we had Rav Chama Bar Guria, we have the Braita, and now we have another Braita. Tanya Idach, Moshe tikan liYisrael 16 mishmarot, shmona me'Elazar u'shmona me'Itamar. Okay, so now we start that Moshe did 16, okay, not 8. And then, sorry, kishirabu b'nei Elazar b'nei Itamar, and then when there was this population growth of Elazar b'nei Itamar, chilkum v'hemidum al asrim v'ar. Okay, so then later, right, he doesn't get to whether it was David or Shmuel, but they say later, how did it get from 16 to 24? Because one family grew greater, so that family got 8 more Mishmarot added onto him. So now they say, how do we know this? And we're going to bring 2 psukim. So one is the one I read before. ויימצאו בני אלעזר רבים לראשי הגברים מבני תמר, ויחלקום לבני אלעזר ראשים לבית אבות 16, ולבני תמר לבית אבותם 8. ואומר, בית אב 1% לאלעזר, ו1% לאיתמר. Okay, that pasuk is a little confusing what it means. But it says here, it explains here, what does it mean? Beit av echad achuz le'elazar. He gets a certain percentage. Ba'achuz achuz le'itamar. And Itamar gets proportionally what he got. Meaning that if Elazar was greater, he was going to get more. And Itamar was going to get proportionally his share for being smaller. Now, the Gemara says, Mai va'omer, why do you need both psukim to prove this? Now, what's the issue? What are we trying to prove here? We're trying to prove that it wasn't 8 and it jumped up to 16 and then to 24, right? That, in other words, what do we have now? We have that Elazar, we have Elazar and Itamar. Elazar has 16 and Itamar has 8. So according to what we learned originally, we would have said each of them had 8, and then we added 8 more on to Elazar because he got greater. But this Perush says, no. It started out as 16. Which means that, right, in other words, originally each had 4, right? Elazar had 4, and Itamar had 4. So maybe when the population growth happened, you might have thought that what? Elazar got greater also, just Itamar got greater also, just not as great as Elazar. So what did they do? When they moved from 4 to from 4 each to a greater number, what did they do? Elazar, right, let's just put it like this. They each started out at 4, so Itamar doubled and got 8 mishmarot, and Elazar quadrupled and got 16. But he's saying, no. It must be that they each had 8 to begin with, and Itamar stayed the same as what they had, and Elazar doubled, okay? So now how does he prove this? So what does he say? My vomer. You might have thought, like I said, that just like Bnei Elazar grew and multiplied, also Bnei Tamar. Shmona me'ikara. Nefisha Bnei Tamar shmona, right? And then me'ikara arbahavu, right? And from the, originally they were 4, and they ended up as 8, they doubled. So therefore, they say, no, don't think that, because tashma beit av echad achuz le'elazar va'achuz achuz le'itamar. And how does he explain that pasuk? It means that Elazar stayed, Itamar stayed at the same percentage he had before. He had 8, he's not exactly percentage, not exactly achuz, the way we understand percentage, but the same size, the same amount of Rashi Beit Avot, that's what he says. That they got greater, but they stayed with the same achuzim they had. They had 8, they still have 8. Okay, so therefore he says it must be that they started with 8, so it must be Moshe had 16 to begin with. Okay? So now they say to Yuvta de Rav Chama Bar Guria. This creates a contradiction to Rav Chama Bar Guria, who said that they were 4 to begin with. Right? Remember? And the other Braita that said they were 4 to begin with. They were 4 each. Moshe was Metaken Shmona Mishmarot. So Amar Lecha Rav Chama Bar Guria Tinaihi. He would answer. Amar Lecha always means he's not there to answer, but someone's going to answer for him and say, it's a Machloket Tanaim. Va'ana da Amre ki Haitana da Amar Shmona. Okay? This was a... Right? Remember we said, we started off with the statement of Rav Chama Bar Guria in the name of Rav. Then we brought a Braita, and then we brought another Braita. Now, there was a machloka between the two Braita. One said 8, one said 16, that Moshe was metaking, right? So when we say that the second Braita creates a contradiction for Rav Chama, we say, oh, no problem. He has another Braita to go by, and it was obviously a machloka in the time of the Tanaim, and therefore we stick with that. Okay, before we move on, we're going to keep with the Mishmarot, but a different issue. I wanted to bring up that there's a machloket here. When we say that Moshe was mitaken, what does that mean? Does it mean it's Doraita? Does it mean it's Darabanan? How do we read it? There's a big machloket, okay, if you're familiar, there's a Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam, where he counts the mitzvot, okay, and there's a bunch of famous issues on which the Ramban disagrees with him and says, oh, that's not a mitzvah. Or why didn't you count this as a mitzvah? Okay? And there's a big argument between, right? We all know this number 613. What makes up the 613 is not agreed upon by everybody. And there's different Sefer HaMitzvot that's written. There's a Smag, Sefer HaMitzvot Gedolot. There's a bunch of others. The Sefer HaChinuch. Okay? But the most famous is really the Rambam with the Ramban's critique on it. Okay? So in Mitzvah Lamidvav, the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah. Midoraita. He says, he Zulate b'regalim, okay, except for on the regalim, and he explains that this is a halacha midoraita, and he darshins it out from a pasuk that says, levami mim karav alavotav, okay, other than the things that his father sold him, and then they said, well, what could that be? He says, it must be their week's, right, their week's share. They each had their week's share, and it shows that there was share from the week. The Ramban says, what do you mean? That's not a mitzvah. It doesn't say it is a mitzvah there. And the Ramban says, this isn't a mitzvah midoraita, and it's either takanat. It's either like halacha Moshe Sinai or it's takanat Nevi'im. Okay, so it's unclear. Even if Moshe tikan on the Israel, it's not clear. What does that mean? Is it doraita or dorabanan? There's a famous machloket about it. Tana Rabbanan, arba'a mishmarot alumin agola. Here's a great Zionist sugya. Okay, four mishmarot came up from the gola. Okay, only four of them. So out of the 24 mishmarot kuna, because there were these 24 families that were known. I actually read in the Quran. There's a note that says that for years, until about 1,000 years ago, they would read every Shabbat in the shul the names of the mishmar that was on duty that Shabbos. Okay, I've never seen anyone do it now, but it's interesting. So anyway, these four families came up from the Galut, only four out of the 24. Okay, we all know that when the Shivat Zion happened, a lot of people stayed, most of the people stayed in Babel, they were comfortable, it was easier for them, they didn't want to struggle. As we all know, the parallel to nowadays. So four mishmarot came up from the Gala, the Elohim, Yedaya, Harim, Pashkor, V'imar. Amduni v'im shebenehem, v'chulkum v'im yidum alasrim v'arba, arba'ah. Okay, what did they do? They said, well, we want it to be 24, so we're going to take these four families and split each one into six groups. Balalun v'netanum b'kalpi. Okay, so they put all the like numbers, let's say 1 to 24, in a box. So now the head of each one, they didn't make six heads for each family. There was still one head of each family. So the head of Yedaya comes up and he pulls out six lots from the, right? He draws six tukim. And then splits them up among the families in his group. Okay, now here's the famous Zion, or the important Zionist line. The Nevi'im Shebenehem made a Tanai. I don't know exactly what it means, the Nevi'im Shebenehem, because there weren't really Nevi'im anymore. But Nevi'im Shebenehem made a Tanai, or maybe it means Ezra, right? I don't know. I don't know who does it. I'm trying to see. Rashi doesn't say who the Nevi'im are. But okay. Shafilu Yeho Yariv, Rosh Mishmeret Ole, Lo Yidche Yidaya Mimkomo, Ela Yidaya Ikar, V'Yariv Tafela. Okay, Yeho Yariv was known to be the head of all the Mishmarot. But interestingly enough, he doesn't come back to Eretz Yisrael. And what do they say? If he were to come one day, he would not be the leader anymore. He lost his chut, and Yedaya is now in charge. And you know, that's the end of, right? He lost his chance. Okay, so even if he now makes aliyah, right? It's actually, it's not only is it a Zionist sugya, but it's almost saying that the Israelis have higher priority. In other words, the ones who came later, they're thought of as second. Second class.
It is why he's not coming.
Maybe that's why he doesn't come back. So then I read something that a lot of them did come back. There's sources of the fact that they did come back. It talks about it. The Quran also had a good note about it, that they came back. One second. I forget what he said. Okay. Simple reading of the Gemara in Erechin. No, that's not that. Right. There was a machloket here. Rashi on Erechin says that if they came back, they wouldn't even get their own mishmar. Not only would they not be the head, they would be underneath like one of, you know, Yedaya's groups. Like Yedaya is now split up into six groups. They would come in within that framework. They wouldn't even have their own family. Okay, but not everybody agrees that with that. And it says here several sources suggest that the descendants did actually have their own independent. In other words, there's a machloket about what actually happened. It's not clear. But some people say that they did have their own mishmar in Bayit Sheni. And they also say that at least two other watches from the First Temple period also came back in the Second Temple.
But it's not clear. If they didn't come back, given their high position.
Right.
And also that one of the excuses not to come back is how will you make a living? But they were taking care of the Kohanim.
Well, look, they were taking care of if things were good. If things weren't so good, then who was taking care of them? In other words, you can't have, you know, if everyone else, it's just like, right, a nonprofit. When financial times are bad, they struggle. So the Kohanim were living clearly off tzedakah. So if people don't have money and they're not making ends meet, Kohanim are going to struggle even more, right? I mean, I agree with you that, wow, how could the Kohanim, the Bein HaMikdash, be built? I mean, let's, right? What's going to happen nowadays? You think everyone who's a Kohen is going to say, wow, you know, here's my opportunity, I'm going back to the Bein HaMikdash? There's other factors that affect whether people decide to come or not. So, not 100% clear. Interesting, right? Okay. Yisrael Shabbato Mishmar Mitkansim Ba'arihem B'Korim B'Maaseh Bereishit. Okay, now we're going to say, why did they read Maaseh Bereishit? Where do we learn this from? Amar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Amar Rav Asi, Ilmalei Ma'amadot Lo Nitkaimu Shamayim Va'aretz. If it weren't for the Ma'amadot, we wouldn't have Shamayim Va'aretz. So therefore, since the Ma'amadot helps sustain our world, let's read about creation of the world. So now we're going to see what's the connection here. Shneamar, Vayomer Hashem Elokim. This is a great interpretation of Brit Ben Habtarim. Vayomer Hashem Elokim. This is the famous when Avram goes to Hashem and he says, how do I know that I'm going to be the one and that you're going to, right? I'm going to be the one who's going to get the Yerusha from you. Amar, Avraham, Ribono Shel Olam. This is what Avram was really saying. Shema Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha. Atau Selem Kedor Mabul Kedor Aflaga. Right? I saw what happened already. Maybe my kids will sin and you'll do them like them, what you did in Dor Mabul and Dor Aflaga. Amar, Love. Okay, said no, that's not going to happen. Amar lefana, ribono shel olam, hodi eini b'mei rashena. Show me proof. Okay, I want to see something real. Okay, this goes with all those gemaras about the people who, right, spoke back to God and said, okay. Amar lechali egla meshuleshet be'ez meshuleshet. Okay, when he says, bring me, right, the Brit Ben Habtarim, he takes all the animals, he walks between, right, he cuts them in half, he walks in between them. What is God showing him according to this interpretation? That you're going to bring korbanot. It's a siman of the korbanot, right? We talk about these in the korbanot. These are the eglah meshulash, the ez meshulash. You're going to, by the way, it's not clear, is meshulash, is it the third born? Is it the third year? We talked about the third year, the par in the third year. It's like the better year. There's different things, but whatever it is, it's praiseworthy, like a more meshubach, a better version. In any case, what does he say? That's your siman. The korbanot is what's going to sustain them in this world. Okay, very nice. However, what does the Gemara say? Tinach bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam. This all works fine and well when there's a beit hamikdash and they're bringing sacrifices. Bizman she'ein beit hamikdash kayam matehe alehem. Okay, so Avram says to him, right? He sees it all, right? He says, fine, I get this, but what's going to happen when the beit hamikdash is not around? Okay. So what does God say? Amar lo kvar tikanti lehem seder korbanot. Bizman shekarim behen lefanai ma'ale ani alehem ki ilu hikrivun lefanai v'ani mochel lehem akol avonotehem. Okay, he says, davening. Okay, davening is in place of the korbanot, and they will daven, they will say the korbanot, and by saying the korbanot, it will be as if they sacrifice them.
Ironic, that's the thing people skip.
Right, I was thinking about that, but that's the part in the davening that most people don't even say. Korbanot. So, right, it is interesting. Okay, so now what do we have? Right, but you could, right, so people just say that our tefillot are in place of the korbanot, the concept of tefillah. You can take it to there, but agreed. Okay, so now that's why they say Maaseh Bereishit, because due to the korbanot, the world is sustained, Shamayim Va'aretz. Tana Rabbanan. Anshei Mishmar hayu mitpalalin al korban achayhem sheyitkabel beratzon. So now we're going to get to what they did. So the Anshei Mishmar would be davening on Korban HaChechem, Shishpel HaBaratzon. V'Anshei Ma'ama would get together in the Beit Knesset, and they would sit and fast for 4 days. Sheni b'Shabbat, Shlishi b'Revi'i b'Chamishi. Okay, now if you remember, I talked about this when we saw the Mishnah. The Mishnah had this, but it was in parentheses, and it seems it wasn't in most of the manuscripts, and there it said, if you remember, they fast for 4 days, they don't fast on Friday because of Erev Shabbat. They don't fast on Shabbat, obviously. It didn't say why because that was obvious. And they don't fast on Sunday because they don't want to... how did they say it? I'm now getting confused with the reasons it says here. Because you'll see here they give different reasons as if they never saw the Mishnah. Okay, so there it says, "Kedei shelo yitzu minucha ve'oneg v'giyah v'ta'anit v'yamutu." We're worried the drastic change of eating a lot to not eating anything is going to be too drastic. And I don't know if they're really worried they're going to die, but, you know, it's not healthy. So now, what do they say? So again, it's pretend that they didn't have that nusach in front of them, because they talk now as if that doesn't exist. B'sheni al yordei hayam. Now they're going to say that on each day they specifically prayed for different types of people, and it correlates to creation of the world. Yordei hayam, because that was the day that the shamayim and the yam were separated. Bashlushi al ochem edbarot, because the yabasha was created. Barabi'i al askara. Okay, that according to the Koran, it's translated as croup. But I thought askara was said as diphtheria before. What does it say by you?
It doesn't actually specify. It says disease whereby the throat is constricted, causing difficulty.
So I guess that's the croup. It sounds like the croup then. Okay. Al askara shaloti pol alatinokot. Okay, that's on the fourth day. Now, why on the fourth day that? Because me'orot were created. Now, me'orot is very similar to the word me'era. Me'era is a curse, and they view this as a curse. Curse of God. So therefore, on the fourth day, this is a little less connected. And some people say, this is a good one, it's a throat. Right, it happens to your throat, and why do things happen to your throat? Because you speak inappropriately. Speak lashon hara. What's the first source of lashon hara? It's when the moon said to the sun, "Oh, you're greater than me," you know, or who, which one of us is going to rule and start the whole thing. So that was the first lashon hara. So therefore, they connected to that. B'chamishi al ubarot u'minikot. Ubarot shelo yapilu minikot sheyaniku epenem. Okay, number one, that the people shouldn't have miscarriages, and number two, that nursing mothers should nurse their babies properly. Ube'erev Shabbat, okay, and that's because of Yishritzu Hamayim Nefesh Chaya, right? That the world should be plentiful, multiply. So there it's really animals, but they connect it. Ube'erev Shabbat lo ayu mitanim mipnei kvod Shabbat, okay, now they're going to go into detail. Also, kal v'chomer b'Shabbat atzma. And be'echa b'Shabbat maitayma lo. So now the Gemara asks, why not on the first of Shabbat? And this is why it seems clear they didn't have our Mishnah. Because here we're going to have an Emorah giving an answer. And why would an Emorah give an answer if it appeared in our Mishnah? So that proves that the Nusach of the Mishnah didn't appear before them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mipnei hanotzrim. Here's a really interesting one. The Christians celebrated Sunday as a holiday. So therefore, they didn't want us to be fasting on a Sunday. Okay, now there's different reasons given what's the connection. You could say because the Notzrim are going to say, hey, you're taking our holy day, you're making it into a holy day, and get angry at us. Or if it's the Notzrim holiday, right, we see this nowadays, that when, you know, the Fridays are always the more dangerous days here because it's their holiday, the Muslims, and therefore they get more riled up. But Sundays are the day the Notzrim would get, in those days especially, there were all sorts of tensions between us and the Notzrim. They would get all riled up on their holy day, and they were worried they were going to come after us, and we're more susceptible if we're fasting. So we should be strong on those days so we don't have that issue. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar mipnei shehu shlishi liyitzirah. It's the third day after creation. Now here's an interesting one. The third day after the Brit Milah was always known as the dangerous day, right? Like v'yehi b'yom ha'shlishi b'yotam ko'avim with Shechem, and Avram Avinu also, he waited 3 days, right? The whole thing about the 3 days. So here it's the third day after our creation, we're the weakest at that point. Okay, so we don't want to fast then. Rish Lakish amar mipnei neshama yiterah. Because of the neshama yiterah that we got on Shabbat, here it's more similar to the reason given in the Mishnah. In other words, we don't want to go from that to nothing at all. Tamar Rish Lakish neshama yiterah nitna lo ba'adam be'erev Shabbat b'motzei Shabbat notzlinota. Okay, here he proves it, that we get a neshama yiterah on erev Shabbat, motzei Shabbat it gets taken away. Shneamar Shabbat vayinafash. Kevan de Shabbat vay avda nefesh. Okay, what is he saying? Shabbat vayinafash, they're darshaning vay nefesh. Like, oy vey, my nefesh. Like, after Shabbat, it's like, you know, I lose my nefesh. Okay. Bayom arishon bereshit v'yihi rakia. Now we're going to get to the Torah readings that they did. Tana bereshit b'shnayim, yihi rakia be'echad. Okay, they would read the Maaseh bereshit in two aliyot, and yihi rakia, one guy would read it. Bishlama yihi rakia be'echad, tal to psuke. I understand that Yehi Rakia one guy reads, because it's three psukim. Now remember, there's this concept, if you're ever going to read from the Torah, you have to read three psukim. So the whole next section is going to be based on that. Ela bereshit b'shnayim, hey psuke havyan. There's five psukim, so how can three people read five psukim? It's not possible. You need three and three. So what it is, and it says, HaKorei b'Torah al yifchot mishlosha psukim. Okay, we have a braita that says, if you're going to read from the Torah, you can't read less than three psukim. So now we have two options. Rav Amar Doleg, Ushmuel Amar Posek. Rav says we double up. We read the first three, And then the second aliyah we read, right, let's say we read, right, this is Bereshit, so Psukim, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, okay? And then the second guy reads Psukim, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. He repeats, okay? Repeats Pasuk Gimel twice. Appears in both aliyah. Shmuel Amar, Posek, we split the Pasuk in half. So we read Aleph, Bet, and half of Gimel, and the second guy reads the other half of Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Okay, so now, Rav Damar Doleg, my time alone, Amar Posek. Why didn't he say that you split the Pasuk in half? So the answer, Kasavar, Ko Psuke de la Paske, Moshe, Ana lo Paskinale. If Moshe didn't put a psik, period in the Pasuk, right? You have to say a whole Pasuk. When you read a Pasuk, some people are very makpid on this. If you read a Pasuk, you can't read half a Pasuk. You have to read the entire thing. Ushmuel Amar, Posek, you can. So now they say, Umi Paskina, is it really true that you can do that? Vaha Amar Rabbi Hanina Kara. Tsar gadol hayali etzer Rabbi Chanina hagadol velo hitir li lifsof el letinokot shabet rabban ho'ilu lelehit lamed asuyim. He said it was a tsar gadol to read the whole pasuk, but the rabbi, he didn't let me. He said only for the children, because the children, what was the issue? If you're teaching children how to read, it's hard to teach them a whole pasuk at once, right? When you teach someone a song, what do? You teach them the first three words of the song. Then you teach the second three words. He said, when it's time about Tinokot Shabbat Rabban, fine, you can do it. But that's the only time you can do it. So how could Shmuel have said yes? Ushmuel, hatam tama mishum de lo efshar. Hachanami lo efshar. Why did they allow the Tinokot Shabbat Rabban to split the pasuk? Because there was no choice. So what does he say? Likewise by us, we have no choice. Right now we have eight psukim to split up into three sections. How can we do it? We have no choice. So while it's true that we don't do it ideally, in this case we have no choice. They obviously didn't want to add another day of creation on, right? So they said, we're going to talk, it's already enough that they're adding 2 days of creation when it really should be just that 1 day of creation. So the psukim just aren't long enough. We have no choice. Okay? Ushmuel amar posek my time alo amar doleg. So why didn't he say doleg? Gzera mishuma nichnasim v'gzera mishuma yotzim. Okay, we're going to end here for today. What does he mean? People come late to shul and people leave early from shul. We see this all the time. What if somebody comes in at the end of the first aliyah? What does he see them do? He sees them read Pasuk Gimel Dalet Hey. What does he say? Oh, they must have read in the first aliyah, Aleph and Bet. And he'll learn from there that you can do two psukim and aliyah. Likewise, the reverse, if they leave early, they'll see they did Aleph Bet Gimel. They'll see the only Dalet and Hair left, and they'll think that you could do two Psukim. So therefore, they say, can't do that. Okay, so that's why each one said, you know, their opinion and not the other. That's it for today.